Let us return. So after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. We began the Dormition Fast.
I think we need a new battery.
Okay, well, we began the Dormition Fast on Tuesday last, with services for the procession of the precious wood of the life-creating cross. We will end the Dormition Fast with services to our beloved and most holy Theotokos. There is an inner mystery that unites the two. We can see it, and it's given to us in the iconography of the Church and in her liturgical texts. The mystery that unites the Theotokos and the cross is the Lord's incarnation, his passion, and his glorification. For the Theotokos is the ladder, or the bridge, by whom the Son of God descended and became flesh and dwelt among us as the Son of Man. And the cross is the ladder, or the bridge, by which the Savior ascended back to heaven, where he was before in the glory he had with the Father before the world was. Through the Theotokos and the cross, the way is open to us to become one with God, that he might be in us and we in him, as partakers or communicants of the divine nature. Today we come to the church as to Mount Tabor, as the church herself says in her liturgical texts. Come, she says, let us go up with Jesus who ascends the holy mountain, and illumined in mind, let us gaze upon light in light. But the church is also instructing us on how we come to the feast today, that we may be illumined in mind, and even transformed in the light of the Holy Trinity, that we may become with Peter, James, and John eyewitnesses of his glory. As we heard in the epistle this morning, the church calls out, let us purify ourselves and faithfully prepare for divine entry into the dwelling place of the transcendent God. How do we purify ourselves? How do we prepare that we may enter into the dwelling place of the transcendent God, that we may become one with God, and that we may become with Peter, James, and John, not just eyewitnesses, but even partakers, communicants of his glory, radiant with the light of the Holy Trinity. This, how we purify ourselves and how we prepare to enter the dwelling place of God, is what I hope we will see this morning. In a word, through the Theotokos, we receive the light who descends to dwell in us as in his holy temple. And through the cross, we ascend the holy mountain in the glory of Christ's resurrection, that we may dwell in the uncreated light of the Holy Trinity, God in us and we in God, communicants of the divine nature, born from above as children of God. At the feast for the precious wood of the life-creating cross, when we began the Dormition fast this Tuesday last, we heard, "Let creation rise up and rejoice, for the cross has shone forth today from heaven, illumining those on earth. Shining forth more brightly than the sun, it illumines all creation with grace and makes radiant and saves those who honor it with faith." Note how the cross is transfigured in glory, just as the Lord is transfigured on Mount Tabor. Notice how the cross is described in the same way that the Lord is described in his transfiguration on Mount Tabor. 40 days from now, we will celebrate the Feast of the Elevation of the Cross, and the Katavasiya hymns for the Matins of Holy Transfiguration that we served last night are from the Feast of the Elevation of the Cross on September 14th. So the Feast of the Transfiguration opens up a kind of a Lenten season between now and the elevation of the cross on September 14th. In this Lenten season, we will pass over from the falling asleep of the Theotokos to her birth as the daughter of God, in a kind of a resurrection of the Theotokos. We will pass over from the old year to the new. We will even pass over from the beheading of John the Baptist to his conception on September 23rd. You see from this liturgical structure of the church how the transfiguration of the Savior is one with his cross, and how there is a transfiguration of the Theotokos within that mystery of Christ. It is the transfiguration of the Theotokos into the Mother of God, even as the daughter of God, as we will sing at the feast of her birth. In this structure of the liturgical year, I would have you to see that the movement of time is shown in the church, not in the world. In the world, time just goes, it just moves. It has no real meaning, no real purpose, except what we give to it. But in the church, I would have you to see that time moves in a life-creating movement. The movement of time in the church, not in the world, in the church, is a life-creating movement. It's a movement of our transfiguration, of our passing over from death to life. And this transfiguration, this life-creating movement of the church, is rooted in the mystery of the two ladders, the Theotokos and the cross, in whom both we see Christ in the glory that he has with the Father from before the world was. On the Feast of the Elevation of the Cross, September 14th, there seems to be a parallel between the wood of the cross and our human nature in the liturgical texts. So that the cross transfigured and made to shine more brilliantly than the sun means that our human nature is transfigured and illumined with the uncreated radiance of God to the degree that we take up our cross, having received Christ through the Theotokos, and to the degree that we walk in the light and in the life of the church and not the world. Through the Theotokos, Christ is able to descend into the tomb of our heart. We receive Christ in the holy mysteries, in the sacraments of the church. We receive Christ in his Holy Spirit in our baptism. And in Holy Eucharist, we receive his body, which is the temple, the true temple. So we receive the true temple of God, Christ's body, into the temple of our bodies, so that our bodies, united with the body of Christ, become the temple of God in which Christ dwells. A temple in which Christ destroys our death by his death. And the tomb of our heart is transfigured into a bridal chamber in which we become one with God, partakers of his divine nature, God in us and we in him. And now, dear faithful, having received the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in theory, not just in mind, but physically, concretely, as did the Theotokos in the sacraments of the church, now we are called to purify ourselves and to prepare for divine entry into the dwelling place of the transcendent God. And where is that dwelling place? The Lord himself tells us. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is within you. And St. Paul tells us, the great mystery of God hidden from before the ages and revealed now in these last days is Christ in you. And there should be no argument. It's self-evident. We have received the body and blood of Christ in Holy Eucharist into ourselves and into the temple of our body. Who is in the temple, the sanctuary of our body? Have we allowed Christ into the sanctuary of our body, our heart? Or do we just allow him into the nave or the narthex, whereas we reserve the sanctuary, the heart, for some other God? So having received Christ into the temple of our body, we are now called to purify ourselves and to prepare for entry into our heart, the dwelling place of the transcendent God, so that our heart can be transfigured into a bridal chamber. And from the heart, in the heart, united with Christ our God, we may ascend with him up into the holy mountain, there to see his glory and to hear the voice of the Father and the light of the heavenly Spirit. How do we do that? That's the question that I want to answer this morning. How do we do that? How do we enter? How do we prepare to enter into our heart, the dwelling place of God? How do we purify ourselves so that we can ascend with him on the holy mount, up the holy mountain, and behold his glory? It's by taking up our cross. The ladder by which we may ascend with Jesus Christ, the holy mountain of Eden. Dear faithful, we are able to ascend the holy mountain of Eden in our mind, as the church says, precisely because we do not take up our cross noetically in our mind. We take up the cross physically, in a concrete way, a tangible way. We don't just imagine it. We just don't just, you know, think about it. We do something. We take it up in a concretely, in a physical way, in obedience to the church, for obedience to Christ, and the church is the body of Christ. Obedience is the principle of creation, it's life creating. So in obedience to the church, in obedience to Christ, we observe seasons of fasting. You don't have to think about it. You don't analyze it. You don't figure it out. You just do it. You're taking up your cross in a real physical way through the fast, denying your self-love by addressing the self-love of gluttony and denying the stomach. We take up our cross by participating as fully as we can in the worship of the church. You don't receive the sacraments at home, dear faithful. You receive the sacraments here in a physical, concrete way. You can go home, you can think about Christ, you can analyze the scriptures, you can study them, you can contemplate them, but you receive Christ in a physical way, concretely tangible, here in the church. Here we hear the words of the church, the words of Christ. That's why we come to the church. That's why taking up our cross involves participating in the worship of the church as fully as we can by coming to the church. And then at home, making the rhythm of our weekly, daily life, centering it on the liturgical rhythm of the church. I think it's a shame that so many Orthodox Christians, do they even know that today is Transfiguration? Do they even know that we're in the Dormition fast? If the feast doesn't fall on Sunday, do they even recognize it? Do they celebrate it? We need to make the liturgical rhythm of the church the rhythm of our life at home, so that our life at home begins to be shaped by the cross of Christ and the worship of the church. That's how we're going to be shaped in the image of Christ. Not by thinking about it, but by doing it. Otherwise, we're going to be shaped by the world. And when the last judgment comes, Christ is going to look at us. We're going to stand before Christ. He's going to look at us and he's going to say, I don't recognize you. You don't even begin to look like me. You look like the Antichrist of the world. Because you didn't give yourself to the church. You didn't take up the cross. You didn't observe the fast, even in a little way. You didn't come to the services as much as you could, only when you wanted to, only when it was convenient. You did not make the rhythm of the church the rhythm of your home. You centered your morning routine on reading the paper and drinking your morning cup of coffee, watching the news maybe. You did not read scripture. You did not study scripture. You did not contemplate scripture. You watched movies and videos, but you did not hear the word of God. You did not study the word of God. Your whole life is shaped by the world. How on earth can we become shaped according to the image and likeness of Christ if we're living according to the image and likeness of the Antichrist who is in the world? Brothers and sisters, dear faithful, as we hear in the liturgical texts, the cross shines with the light of Christ on Mount Tabor and in heaven in the glory of his resurrection. When we therefore take up the cross physically, concretely, by fasting according to our strength and circumstances, by coming to the church and participating in the worship of the church and receiving the holy sacraments, by making the rhythm of our life at home the liturgical rhythm of the church, when we do these things, taking up our cross in this physical, concrete way, the wood of the cross, in other words, the deified humanity of Christ begins to become embodied in us. And its divine life-creating power becomes active in us. Not by reading about it, not by studying about it, not by analyzing it, contemplating it, meditating it, but by doing it and receiving it and doing it. Which is to say that the uncreated radiance of God, more brilliant than the sun, begins to shine in us. How can it shine in us if we're not taking up the cross? Then the light that shines in us is the light of Antichrist. And it transfigures us into the image and likeness of Christ our Lord himself. The centrality of the ascetic disciplines of the cross in the Christian faith is seen in our epistle this morning. St. Peter prays in the opening verses of his epistle that his readers, that's us, might become communicants of the divine nature. Which we will do, however, says St. Peter, as we flee the world and the desires that are in the world, the desires of the world that corrupt and bring about death. In other words, as we take up our cross. And then St. Peter immediately, after writing this, he immediately shows us how we go about fleeing the corrupting desires of the flesh. He puts before us a kind of a ladder. In other words, he puts before us the cross that ascends from faith to virtue to knowledge of the unseen, gnosis, to self-control, to patience, to godliness, and then to brotherly love, and finally to the love of God. This all occurs in the passage, in the section of St. Peter, just before the passage that was assigned for our reading this morning. And what we picked up in this morning's epistle was, if you do these things, says St. Peter, your entrance into the kingdom will be made sure. How so? Because you're taking up the cross. And the glory of God is becoming embodied in you. The life-giving power of the cross is becoming embodied in you. And in the power of the cross, death is being put to death in you. And so your entrance into the life-creating, the life-creating kingdom of God is made sure. Because you have united yourself surely to his cross. Now, if in taking up the cross, this ladder of divine ascent, we are fleeing the corrupting desires of the flesh, are we not then ascending the holy mountain and drawing near to Christ in his holy glory? This is what it is to die in Christ, brothers and sisters. This is what it is to lose our life for Christ's sake. To die in Christ is altogether different from dying as we would die if we are in the world. To die in Christ is immediately to begin ascending the holy mountain. It's immediately to begin passing over from darkness to light, from shame to glory, from death to life. In the very moment that we die, that we deny ourselves and die to anger, to lust, to gluttony, to vanity, for the sake of Christ, in that very moment, we begin to live in the glory of Christ. This, dear faithful, is the essence of the Christian faith. Not simply to believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins. The devils believe that, and it does them no good. The essence of the Christian faith is action. It's doing. Specifically, the action of denying ourselves, confessing our sins, receiving Christ, and then taking up our cross in order to follow Christ in the fear of God with faith and in love. If we're not taking up our cross, if we're not doing the ascetic disciplines of the church even a little bit, we've not come out of Egypt. Or if we have, we have pitched tents, we have pitched camp in the middle of the desert, and we have erected a golden calf, complaining that we wish we could go back to Egypt. We're not moving towards the promised land, brothers and sisters. The essence of the Christian faith is this taking up of the cross and doing the disciplines of the church, so that we become lights shining in this dark world until the day dawns and the morning star, Christ our hope of glory, shines in our hearts. Amen. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. The joy of the feast be with you.